Today on Real Radio.
What's written around the dome of the rock, right below the lip of the gold when you follow it down, what's written around the lip is this. God does not begat, neither does God have a son. Gee, why did they put that there?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a series that takes a very close look at verses 18 through 20 of the second chapter, where John uses the terms Antichrist and Antichrists. Now, there will certainly be an Antichrist, but the same apostle John himself also warns that there will also be many Antichrists. Not only does John declare this, but Jesus himself said it, like in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, and a bunch of other passages. Our teacher points this out as he continues in his mini-series called Who is Antichrist? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, if you just let me in. Just have me to win this thing, and away we go. You know what? I saw a movie one time. The guy was drowning. I don't remember the name of the movie. It was years ago, but the guy's drowning. And he's, God, if you just save me, I'll give you everything I own. And he's swimming closer to shore. God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll serve you all my life. He's getting closer to the shore. God, if you just save me and everything works out okay, I'll give you, $5,000 a year. He gets closer to shore. God, if you save me, I'll give you $2,500 a year. Then he gets to the shore and he stands up and he goes, it's okay, God, I made it. I'm fine. This pursuit, oh, if I just have this thing. Listen, Satan is going to use that against the world. He, Daniel tells us, is going to destroy the world through prosperity. Isn't that one common language the world speaks? Isn't that something? You don't have to talk to anybody, but just hold up a euro right now, which is stronger than the dollar tonight. Ooh. Hold up the dollar. Ooh. You know, you look at it and you just kind of, it's a dollar, but I tell you what. Take that dollar to Russia. You know, you're talking about 23,000 rubles. Take it down to Mexico, where you almost double your money. Ooh. Satan knows that he's going to arouse a fallen humanity by his power. We just read it a moment ago in this portion of Daniel that we saw. Very, very powerful. He's got hooks into people. Also this, he will appeal to the masses. Daniel tells us again that he is an incredible speaker. The Bible says he speaks pompous words. Isn't that funny? Pompous words. Well, who wants to listen to pompous words? The world. Lie to me, will you? Tell me something. Just don't tell me the truth. Mikhail Gorbachev said a brilliant thing. Before the fall of communism, or let me put it this way, before the apparent fall of communism, Mikhail Gorbachev says we need to act as a Russian nation, as a people. We need to take, he said, advantage of the Americans' desire to not want to know. Think about that. Isn't that true? He said, we need to take advantage of America's desire to not want to know. Don't tell me bad news. That's how the Antichrist will be. He's going to tell people what they want to hear. And he's going to have the satanic powers to do it. And the world's going to say, where has this guy been? He's the best. He's going to dupe them. He's going to appeal to the masses. He's going to sway them. Daniel tells us that this man who's called the little horn, which, not to worry, the word horn in book of Daniel in Hebrew is translated later on in the book of Daniel as a king. The horns, he says, the 10 horns that arise out of Europe are 10 kings. And the 11th is a little horn who subdues the others, and he becomes a king himself. And he speaks pompous words, and with his words he flatters the world and curses the God of heaven. And you might say, well, how could anybody get away with that? I got news for you. There is a massive global agenda to proselytize the world for Islam. If you don't think so, then try to get more and more information, everything you can, from, say, UPI, United Press International, or Associated Press. Do everything you can to get information from a guy by the name of Ted Turner, who is the creator of CNN, who has an Islamic agenda. And you say, well, Jack, what's that all about? What are you even bringing that up for? Because everyone loves to, in these days that we live in, these last days, to talk about the end times. And everybody's interested, even the secular news media, about what's happening in Israel. And they should be. But let me ask you something. Honestly, be careful. And if you know the answer, don't shout it out. But I want to know what your view is, if it was like mine. If I were to flash up on the screen here a picture that would be symbolic of Israel, symbolic of saving Jerusalem, if I was to snap a photo up there right now, what would be predominant in that photograph? Anybody? Come on. The Temple Mount? The Dome. Many of you just said that. The Dome. You know what dome we're talking about, everybody? The gold dome? It's not gold. It looks gold. That's a shrine. It's not even technically a mosque. Did you know that? The Allah Ask Mosque is next door. That's the gray one, which you can't hardly see. The Dome of the Rock is what we're talking about. That's where Muhammad, that's where his pony, his foot left earth and went flying into heaven from, you see. And when they have you take, when they take you on a tour in there, they ask you to take they ask you to take your shoes off because it's holy ground. Now, I was not going to take my shoes off, so I wasn't allowed in. I'm not going to take my shoes off to some paganism. But that's holy ground, man, for a Muslim. And you say, well, Jack, what's your point? This is my point. Around the Dome of the Rock, do you know what's written on there? In Arabic? What's written around the Dome of the Rock, right below the lip of the gold when you follow it down, what's written around the lip is this. God does not begat, neither does God have a son. Gee, why did they put that there? It's like Russia and the Soviet era. There is no God. There is no God. There is no God. Everybody raise your right hand. Repeat after me. There's no God. There's no God. You know, Russia was scared to death that people would find out that there was a God. Islam's scared to death that people are going to find out that God has a son. Think, isn't this cool? Why around that mosque is it written, God doesn't begat? That means he doesn't have any kids. You're not his kid. And neither does he have a son. That cover-up is admission to what my Bible says. And there's going to be a day during the tribulation period when the eyes of the Jews are going to be opened and they're going to look at that mosque. And it will be to the believing Jews the ultimate blasphemy when they look on their Temple Mount region or on that almost high ground and say, that's abomination. That's exactly what Revelation, the book of Revelation, talks about. Leave the outer court. It's defiled. It's full of abomination. Why? Because it denies the Son. Interesting. Yeah, he will appeal to the masses, though, because the world is predominantly converting to what right now at this hour? Islam. in a huge way. Fastest growing religion in the world. I've heard rumors, don't know if it's true. If you can get me information to back it up, I'd love to have it. And that is, I've recently heard that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States. I know that Islam has now taken the most significant churches throughout England and has converted them to mosques. He will approve of a world religion. The power of the Antichrist, he will promote and approve a world religion. And a religion that tolerates all things. A religion that is all-inclusive. I have a feeling, though, it will be anti-Christianity. Don't you? Don't you think? I was talking to Sean the other day, and he was telling me that he was at some place up in Hollywood, and they had a saying. It was a worldly place, like everything else in Hollywood is. And it had a thing, and it said, love all, serve all, get along, you know, hug one another, something or other. And it had the crescent moon of Islam, and it had all these shapes and images and icons, and it's all drawn up in such a way that we're all hugging each other. Well, guess what was not represented? The cross. Isn't that cool? Why? Because the cross is an offense. Bums people out. You're a lunatic if you have a cross. You know? If you're a Christian, you're a wacko. You're building bombs in your basement. You know, you're sick, you know. You listen to Focus on Family. You're twisted. You're sick. You pray. You think God talks to you. Don't tell that to the world. They're thinking they'll have you arrested. They're going to say, this guy's sick. He shouldn't be on the streets. The world doesn't know. They can't know. It's beyond their understanding. But the Antichrist will approve of a world religion. Revelation chapter 17. He will promote it. It will promote him. Number 6, the person of the Antichrist. Of the 10 considerations of the spirit and person of the Antichrist, we come to number 6, and we do now consider the person of who he is. What we want to look at is that he is forthcoming. I personally believe, and this is my personal conviction, that this man is alive on the planet now. I believe that he's alive. I believe that he is being prepared. He may not know his satanic doom. Knowing how Satan works in your life and mine, he keeps people kind of in the dark about how he prostitutes people, doesn't he? But I believe that this man is in the world today and being groomed. He's forthcoming. The Bible speaks clearly that there are types of him in Old Testament times, and even New Testament times. I say types, symbolic representations, but not him. Example, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes was a brutal, wicked, horrible man who conquered kingdoms without killing one person in battle or having one soldier raise his sword in battle. Antiochus Epiphanes would surround a nation, remember, nations back then were like L.A. would be a nation. Large cities, what we would say a metropolis today, that would be like a nation. He would surround a nation, and they would go in and take someone out, and they would strip that man. Usually it was a man of power, a man of esteem or prominence. They would gather the city around. They would shave a tree down to a fine point. They would erect scaffolding, and they would strip that man naked and suspend him over that stake, and then they would release him as through the rectum he would gyrate until in his spasm and in his movement that thing pierced his heart and killed him dead. Antiochus Epiphanes did this to kingdoms, and he took kingdoms without ever raising a sword for fear. He put fear into people like that. And the Antichrist has been symbolized in the man Antiochus Epiphanes, who's now, and by the way, he desecrated the temple. He is now, of course, dead and gone. Some people thought Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist because he put numbers on Jews' right hands. Because he numbered them. Of course, he wasn't. But he was a type, you see. On and on that goes. Well, he is forthcoming. He's futuristic. I believe he is even alive today. That's my opinion. Of course, most of you, probably all of you, disagree with that. And that's okay. I just believe with what we're seeing in Israel and what we're seeing in the Middle East, that there's a great, great chance that he's alive today. Let's consider this also. He is forthcoming. Jot it down if you would in your notes. Revelation 16, verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Well, we know they're not frogs, but he says they're like frogs. Coming up out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the unholy trinity there. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together to the great day of battle against God. This passage of Scripture goes on to speak in Revelation of the formation of the Battle of Armageddon, which is on the lips of many people around the world, how that could even happen today. The next thing that we see right now in the person of the Antichrist is that he is divine in his own mind. And that would be a great bumper sticker for him. I'm divine in my own mind. He thinks he's God. He's not going to think that from the get-go, but he becomes acquainted with something that allows him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for him to stand in the temple of Jerusalem, which, by the way, remember, they're talking about building that thing. Now, you have to have a temple for the Antichrist to stand in it. And they're talking about building it. I think the Antichrist is going to give them permission to build it. He's going to stand, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and declare himself to be God. Well, what's gotten into him? Himself. He's full of himself. He begins to think of himself as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. That is a great departure from the faith. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. Revelation 13, verse 1. Revelation 13, 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. That's 10 kings. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. If you keep reading the book of Revelation, you'll see that the world would begin to embrace this guy for his powers and the circumstances around his life, because his very activity and his trappings are beyond explanation. And a divine definition will be allocated toward him. Let's continue this, and we'll end here in a moment. The third thing that we see under the person of the Antichrist is he will be possessed by Satan himself. We know that this happens after the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, 3.5 years into that seven-year contract, that peace treaty. Did you know that? But I don't know about this group right now. Did you know that the tribulation period, when's the tribulation going to begin? It's 7 years long. When does it begin? The day they sign a peace treaty. And that peace treaty is guaranteed by the architect of it for 7 years. He does it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 tells us. He breaks it, by the way, 1,260 days into the contract. The Bible gives you the number of the day. He breaks that deal. And that's when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not to stand, he said, come down from your housetop and flee into the wilderness. Those of you who are in the field, don't even go back to get your clothes. Run! Flee! For then there shall be great tribulation such as the world has never seen. The last 3.5 years will be the pouring out of God's wrath on the earth. The first 3.5 years is a massive satanic deception of the earth dwellers, people who dwell on the earth, all those who have received the mark of the beast, the commercial trading mechanism where he says you must take this mark to be in this economic new system. But the Bible says that all those who know Christ, those tribulation saints, will refuse the mark. And it says that they will die for their faith. They'll die for their faith. The person of the Antichrist, somebody might ignorantly, and I don't mean ignorantly, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it in a gentle way, uninformed. Somebody who's uninformed might say, listen, you've been witnessing to me, you've been talking to me for a while, and I've heard the gospel. I understand what you're telling me. I just don't want to live for Christ right now. Do you understand? They might say to you, I don't want to live for Jesus. I want to live for me. I heard the gospel. The Bible says that that person, should the rapture take place, that person that's left behind who knew the way, but didn't choose the way. The Bible says God will send him strong delusion so that he will believe the lie. Did you read that in the Bible? It's very serious. Those, and maybe you're here tonight, you're willfully, you won't bow the knee. You're saying, you know what, I'll wait till the Antichrist shows up and then I'll believe your story. Too late, friend, you'll be doomed. That's serious. Don't do that to yourself. Don't play the fool. The Bible's never been wrong. I got news for you. It's not going to be wrong.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 20. It's part of a mini-series that examines this and other passages that warn against false messiahs, false prophets, and anything that is exactly that, Antichrist. The title, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Remember, it's absolutely free, so if you just got a new tablet or a smartphone for Christmas, well, here's your opportunity to go to the App Store and download it at no charge. Lots of features connected to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey. That's another one of our TV programs that airs on hischannel.com. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and that you can get via email. Also, our Wednesday night study is available, which also airs, by the way, on hischannel.com live on Wednesday nights. Our Real Radio podcasts are available. And, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with exactly that, real life issues from a biblical perspective. And a whole lot more when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. I'm looking at mine right now. I got to tell you, it makes things real convenient. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you could always visit us, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Also, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.